It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With a new podcast every day of the Premier League season, this is Football Social Daily.
With 165 goals in 243 games, Harry Kane is a goal-scoring phenomenon. Since his first full season in 14-15, no other player has scored more times in the top flight than Harry Kane has. This season alone, he's been involved in more than half of all Tottenham's Premier League goals, and those numbers are mightily impressive. But it's one number that seems to be hanging over his head, and it has done for a while now. That number, unfortunately, is zero. Zero trophies in his career, yet Kane is the highest scoring player to have never won the Premier League title. Could that change next season, as reports yesterday claim the striker has asked to leave Tottenham Hotspur? Manchester City, Manchester United, and Chelsea all said to be interested. But what happens next in the future of the England captain? We'll discuss just what this means for Spurs and the rest of the Premier League shortly. Also, we take a look at tonight's Premier League programme as we hurtle towards the finishing line of the season. Chelsea looking for retribution as they face Leicester just 3 days after the Foxes beat them at Wembley, this time with top four implications in a game Thomas Tuchel says is more important than the FA Cup final. But is he right? We'll get stuck into that on the podcast, as well as previewing the return of fans to Old Trafford for the first time in over a year as Manchester United play Fulham. Cuban puffing Pep's Manchester City take on Brighton, and Southampton also face off against Leeds. I'm Niall, this is Football Social Daily, and joining me today we've got Marley Anderson. What did you make of Pep's party in last night, Marley?
It looked quite interesting, didn't it? I think, I don't know what language you'll have been speaking towards the end of it, but it did sound like absolute gibberish half the time with the amount of smoke and drinking he was doing, but it looked fun. Certainly looked fun.
I think the point of a Cuban cigar is you puff it slowly and you take your time with it, but he was just going to town on it. He was smoking away. We've also got from the Cheese Room a dedicated Tottenham Hotspur show, which you can, of course, find on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Seb, how's things, Seb? How are you doing?
Things were all right up until about 7 o'clock last night, and then obviously and then everything's kind of changed, but I'm sure we'll dig into it a little bit more and find out if this is... this Harry Kane story is realistic or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is where we're going to start. Just before we do start, though, I'm sure it's something you guys on the Cheese Room will be talking about. And as I just mentioned, it's part of the Sports Social Podcast Network, and there's loads of great podcasts you can find on there. So just go to podcasts.sport-social.co.uk. You can also find the Cheese Room and all the other podcast platforms, your usual podcast provider. I imagine this one will spark a bit of lively debate amongst you guys on the show, Seb.
Yeah, it's already... kind of split the podders, and we have Patreon followers that we chat to regularly, and some people believe it will happen, some don't, some are praying that links with Chelsea are just links. I mean, that would be a big slap in the face. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about, and yeah, a lot of different opinions, I think.
Well, let's dive into it because it is the massive story from a Premier League perspective over the last 24 hours. Harry Kane has allegedly told Tottenham Hotspur he wants to leave the club. This is being reported by Sky Sports News. This hasn't actually been picked up by the BBC and some other outlets as a fact, but Sky Sports are running it as if it is the case. And if this is the case, is anyone surprised? Are you surprised, Marley, that this has come out in the news just two games before the end of the season?
No, I'm not, to be honest, because I remember back to, I think it was last month, when Harry Kane won the London Football Awards. He won Player of the Year there, and he was said, you know, in his sort of acceptance speech, he said, you know, this is nice, but I'd rather have team trophies. And that was like, it was almost like unprovoked, almost, and he didn't need to say that. So that was like the thing where, to me, I was like, okay, this summer's going to be big for him because he clearly wants to leave. And the timing of everything, in my opinion, is right. I mean, Spurs haven't got a permanent manager. It's not like you're souring that relationship going into next season because you've got your agenda out there. You want to leave. So the new manager's going to have to come in and deal with that if they do get someone in the summer. And I think that's fair. I think that's the way to do it, to be honest. I think, you know, imagine if, like, Eric Ten Hag came in and a week later, Harry Kane went, oh, actually, I want to leave. Like, Ten Hag would be like, for God's sake, like, you could have told me this before I took over. And you know what I mean? It sets everything out. It sets what Spurs have to deal with out on the table, and it gives everyone a chance to digest it and then to deal with it in the coming weeks. So I don't think I'd be fuming if I was the Football London Awards and I'd give him a trophy and he said, oh, thanks, I don't really want this. So I'd have said, right, all right, we'll give it to Mason Mount instead. But, you know, it's not a surprise. It now just becomes about who can buy him, because there's very few teams on the planet that can afford that type of player.
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly enough, Seb, you said just a moment ago that it's almost split the podcast contributors that you've got on the Cheese Room. Is that the general attitude amongst the Spurs fan base as well regarding this news? Because I thought what was interesting that you pointed out before we started recording, that you're not convinced by this story. You think this might be a little bit of bluster.
I am personally not convinced by it at all. He's got 3 years left on his contract and his chairman is Daniel Levy. I mean, there's not a lot more that you need to read into it. The only thing that does worry me slightly is the report from Sky said that he'd actually intimated last year in the summer that he wanted to leave. And Levy had kind of said, give it one more year. We've got Mourinho in. You know, this is the year that we can win trophies. And if that did take place, then you don't know if there's some kind of gentleman's agreement whereby, look, he gave it a year. It was in, you know, this season's been a shambles. You know, we can't get away from that. Yeah. And whether there is something in place now that he is free to speak to other clubs if the asking price is met. But that's the issue. That's the sticking point. It's going to have to be 120, maybe even 150 million. Who's got it? Because I don't even think City have got it.
No, not after the pandemic that we've had as well, and football finances are in a rough state. Do you think that will be the situation, even if there is truth in this, that Harry Kane has asked to leave the club, even as recently as yesterday, or even before that, a year ago before that, like you say? Do you think Daniel Levy will price any Premier League clubs out of a deal? Because, as we know, Manchester United, Manchester City and Chelsea are the three teams that have been linked with him from a Premier League perspective.
It's not even pricing them out of a deal. It's setting the market price, which is around, I firmly believe he's the best striker in the world and he's the most valuable striker in the world. You could argue that Lewandowski's better, but he's certainly, no one would pay 150 million for, I think he's 32, getting on for 33, Lewandowski. So you wouldn't pay that money for him. It's setting the market value, which is, you know, probably in the top five transfers of all time. And I don't think anyone's got it. Spurs are under absolutely no pressure. They're probably under no pressure this time next year to sell him. It's only when you enter the last 18 months to a year of your contract that you have to start looking at it. Kane, look, I get Kane's desire for trophies, but he signed a six-year deal 3 years ago. So you knew what you're getting into. He's very well rewarded. You know, he's got the highest basic of anyone that's ever played for Tottenham Hotspur. And my understanding is his bonuses are kind of through the roof. So, yeah, he's very well looked after. He's very well rewarded. I just don't know if there's a story, because as you say, Sky are the ones running it. Sky are the ones pushing the betting on their betting channels. I don't really see it anywhere
Marley,
else.
Is this similar to the Wilfried Zaha situation that we saw at Crystal Palace a couple of seasons ago, where Zaha would repeatedly hand in transfer requests and then Crystal Palace would say, well, if you want him, you've got to pay 80 million. And then people were saying, oh, that's not fair on Wilf Zaha. That's not fair on him because he wants to move away from the club. But I suppose, you know, Seb's got a point there that he did sign a 6-year deal, and to use Seb's words, he knew what he was getting into. What's your take on the situation? Do you think that this could be one of those personal versus wider argument situations?
There is similarities there, however, between the Zaha thing and the Kane thing. You know, if you want to go and better your career, for example, go and, you know, don't sign a long-term contract. But, you know, you mentioned there he signed a 6-year deal 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Tottenham were almost in the final of a Champions League, and now they're nowhere near it. So the difference between like Zaha, for example, he signed a five-year contract. Two years ago, was it? When he was like, I want to leave. Ended up signing the new contract. But realistically, Crystal Palace were never going to get anywhere near his ambitions. So, in my opinion, that's one of the worst decisions in the Premier League I've ever seen. Him signing that 5-year contract when he's been desperate to leave that club is ridiculous. Mm. So there is a big difference, because there was, when Harry Kane signed that contract with Spurs, the 6-year deal, Pochettino was the manager. They were going in the right direction. They had Eriksen, they had Ali. They had a solid defence. They had all the makings of a team that could go on and push themselves towards a title challenge, really. And they've gone backwards since then, and that isn't the fault of Harry Kane. So I don't think you can really blame him for saying, "Well, this isn't going very well. Can I get somewhere else? Can someone be there to give me what I want from my career?" And I think that's always the risk you run when you've got a player like that who's, you know, 27. He's won nothing in his career from a team perspective. You know, even the team, I've seen things going on this week. The teams he's been on loan at, Norwich and Leicester, have won more than he has in his career, which is bizarre, because, you know, he's a player that deserves more from what he's been given with his career, in my opinion.
He is class, and he's one of my favourite Premier League players. I just like the way he goes about his business. There's no fanfare with Harry Kane, and you get the occasional critic with people saying that, you know, he's, you know, edged up on the dirtier, earthier sides of the game, you know, like backing into defenders and all of that stuff. But I just think, on the whole, he's a joy to watch. And as a neutral Premier League viewer like me, I really enjoy watching Harry Kane go about his business. However, I've seen a certain section of the Spurs supporter base, Seb, claim that Harry Kane's almost too good for Tottenham in the eyes of some supporters. And it's almost like, ah, oh, well, he's too good for us. Let's just let him go. And he deserves his move. Are you in that camp? And if so, what does that say about the mentality of the club and its fan base in general? Because it's something that's kind of followed Tottenham around over the years, this idea that they never win a trophy.
I don't know where you've read that. How can a player be too good for a team? You try and keep your best players. Look, he is a generational talent. You know, it will be 50, 60 years before a player comes through from age 11, 12 through to being, you know, the greatest player the country has produced in, well, I'd argue, he's as good as, if not better than, Rooney. So you're talking 20, 30 years. I just can't see that he will go. I have to keep reverting back to, it's something and nothing. The club are under no pressure. My fear is, I'm sure you'll get onto this, is that if we got £150 million for him, what we'd do with it? Because obviously we've had the issues.
You haven't got the best track record.
No, we haven't got a good track record at all. You know, it's not even with the bail money. The bail money, you know, I always like to argue that Eriksen was probably worth the bail money. And you know, we did well with some of the other players in terms of selling them on for profit, or at least getting our money back. But we haven't got a good transfer track record at all in the last 10 years. And that's the issue, is that a lot of the fans and a huge percentage of the fan base would be worried about Levy and Steve Hitchin making decisions with that money. And I can't see it go well. I think if it did happen, we'd see something like Danny Ings, maybe Aguero. But there's no way that we'd go out and spend, suppose we got 150, let's say, and go, right, well, we're spending £100 million of that on a striker. Yeah, we'll go out and we'll buy a Lukaku or Haaland or something like that. That just won't happen. So, you know, it did make me laugh. I think the Daily Mail reported this morning that since Kane intimated earlier in the season that he wanted to leave, we made tentative inquiries about Haaland. It's just, yeah, okay. I could have had that conversation.
That's like me making tentative inquiry into Margot Robbie's availability for the next weekend when my missus is away, you know what I mean? But now, honestly, on that thing, you know, with 150 million if Spurs get it is a big thing, but also you can't fish in the same pond as Harry Kane if you sell him, you know what I mean? It's not FIFA. You can't just go out and pay Erling Haaland's release clause because you've physically got it. You've got to attract him to the club, and you've got to. It's the same for any striker in that class, in that top drawer of strikers. So almost you have to look at 150 million and say, can we get four players with that? Can we get a replacement and three other players to improve other areas of the squad?
But that's the problem as well with Spurs at the moment. Well, we've got too many players anyway. So if we're going to go out and spend, why, we don't need four players. We do, but we need to move six out.
To move them first.
that's the problem. So we can't do what we did with the bail money and say, right, we'll completely revolutionise the squad, because at the moment I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying I think we've got maybe one space left for a foreign player. So and if you sell Kane, that's even worse. He's your homegrown player as well. So it just doesn't work. And for that reason, like I said, we're under no pressure at all. Yeah, you know, look, if someone comes in and says we'll break the world record, because that's what Levy demanded with Bale, then, you know, they might look at it, 200 million. But I still can't see it. I can't see it happening.
No. I mean, well, Chelsea have been linked. And actually, out of the three, I mean, you even mentioned Manchester City might not have the cash to pay that massive sum for Harry Kane. Let's say it does creep over the 150 million mark. I think you're right. However, some have linked him with Chelsea. Now, I can't see him wearing a Chelsea shirt. You know, it's one of those things where you just can't visualise it in your head. How disappointing would it be for Tottenham and the supporters if Levy does sell Kane to the highest bidder, and that highest bidder happens to be a Premier League rival, or even worse, Chelsea?
That would be the biggest slap in the face ever. Personally speaking, I dislike Chelsea more than Arsenal. Yeah, I'm not fussed by Arsenal. I mean, we're rubbish and they're worse. But if Chelsea happened, it won't happen. I can't even think about it. It's that painful.
Well, do you know what? Do you know, honestly, right, on that, I was thinking about, you know, where he might go and what might be the best deal for Spurs. And I'm thinking about what if Chelsea paid 120 million plus Tammy Abraham for Kane, and then you replace him, you get loads of money, you get another English player, like you just said, and you get a player who's unhappy at Chelsea but also very, very talented and 23, 24, 25, whatever it is. You know, I don't see Spurs going and signing somebody better than Tammy Abraham. Do you know what I mean? In that, because then you're fishing in that pond that is a little bit too big for Spurs, in my opinion. So I think, is that the best of a bad situation?
All of the predictions I've seen, Marley, have been player plus cash. So I've seen a few Manchester United fans saying, oh, we'll offer 60 million and Martial. It's like, who's going to say no to that? It's like, well, Tottenham are going to say no to that because I don't think they'll accept that. And also there's murmurings as well that Manchester City is Kane's preferred destination. And yeah. I just wonder if Manchester City have the choice of Kane and Haaland, who would they pick? And I think they pick Haaland, personally. And I think Jack Grealish is nailed on to go to Manchester City in the summer as well. So I think that, you know, you're looking at least another 70 to 80 million quid there for Grealish. So who knows what the situation is regarding Harry Kane. Do you think we'll find out more in the next 2 weeks, Seb, when the season is officially over and the Euros are obviously on the horizon as well? So do you think we'll know more by this point, or do you think it'll all settle down by then?
Well, he said, according to Sky, I mean, there's no direct quotes, that he wants it sorted before he goes to Euro 2020. I mean, that is 3 weeks away.
It's a year ago.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But there's no chance. I think this will rumble on unless there's some kind of new contract, but I can't see that either. Look, like I've said, you know, there's no need for Spurs to do anything. You know, someone wants to pay ridiculous money and pay off our Bank of England £175 million loan that we've got at the moment in one hit, you know, not in instalments or anything like that. It might get looked at, but there's no pressure. The only thing that it does do is, if there are rumblings, is maybe not attract, as you've alluded to, the best manager that we could get. Because if in the interview process the question is, what's happening with Harry Kane, and the answer comes back, we don't know, then, you know, that might throw a few spanners in the works with regards to a new manager. But I believe Spurs have got, I don't know who it is, but I believe Spurs have sorted their manager. So I don't know, we'll see what happens there.
And Marley, what about, in your opinion, how do you see the next fortnight or so going?
I think there is truth in it, purely because of what he said at these London Awards. He seems if you ask him about his future, he doesn't flat out deny it. I think he's very open to it. It's just a case of who can buy him. So over the next few weeks, I think it's going to be teams trying to set out a financial plan in which they can afford him and say, who can we get rid of this summer? How can we raise 80 million to go on to the 50 million we already had so we can chuck it at Harry Kane? And, you know, Man City might do that, but you can't see them doubling their transfer record to sign him, in my opinion. But we'll have to see what happens. But it's not a good time for Spurs fans, because obviously, as Seb said there, you know, you've got to get this sorted before you sign, before it impacts the manager situation, everything like that as well. So
yeah,
it's a tough one.
It really is. And you know what? I think the hourglass is against Harry Kane here. I do think that timing-wise, it's just not great, is it? And I know you can't predict a pandemic ahead of time, but I don't know. I simply don't know, and I'll watch this one with interest. What do you think? Listening in, let us know on social media. At The Sports Social is our Twitter handle. At Sports Social Official on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook as well. Just search for Sports Social and let us know your opinions. One of the teams linked with Harry Kane is Manchester United, and they've got a game tonight at Old Trafford. They take on Fulham. We'll talk about it next here on Football Social Daily. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Football Social Daily from Sports Social, your daily Premier League pod with all the latest news, views and opinions on the English top flight. And there are four games in the Premier League programme this evening. A couple of 6 p.m. kickoffs starting at Old Trafford, where up to 10,000 fans will be in attendance at the Theatre of Dreams for the first time in 14 months. They take on Fulham this evening. First time fans will be in the ground since the Manchester Derby on March the 8th, 2020. So it's certainly been a while. I mean, if the FA Cup final was anything to go by, Marley, it should be far better entertainment with fans in the stadium, and that goes without saying, because I thought the atmosphere at Wembley on Saturday was absolutely brilliant, and it brought a smile to my face. Just the sound of the fans going mental when Youri Tielemans smashed that ball into the top corner, that was an adrenaline rush for any football fan, I think. Even someone who probably particularly doesn't like Leicester that much would have enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not enjoy an absolute worldie to settle an FA Cup final with fans behind it? It was brilliant. It was you almost forget what a real crowd sounds like, because we've been used to that crap sound effect on Match of the Day for the last year. And
I hate it so much.
You know, I'm not a sound editor or anything like that, but I'm sure that if somebody went and put a few hours into that, they could have made it sound more realistic and had more than just stock bloody cheers for everything. It was daft, really.
I said this a year ago, right? I don't understand why they even bothered doing it. Yeah. Why are we trying to alter what is happening in front of us? The games are played behind closed doors. Why are we trying to pretend that they're not?
Yeah.
I just don't understand. I don't understand what the benefit of putting crowd noise in is. Yeah. You know, we'll appreciate the fact fans are back way more rather than having augmented sound effects if we listened to a year's worth of football in empty stadiums. And I actually think it's been quite insightful.
Yeah, definitely.
Listening to what managers are shouting from the touchline, listening to what defenders are saying. I think it's been better without the sound effects.
Yeah, you've seen it on social media, people doing things like listen in features, and you can hear people shouting certain things, and you know, certain run to the back post or cover here, or you know, cover me and whatever.
Or Sean Dyche shouting clear it.
I mean, the one thing you get, I've loved watching live football and hearing the amount of effing and blinding going on, which is great. And then the commentator have to go, sorry if you heard any bad language there. And have to apologise for it and stuff like that. And Robbie Brady was the best. Speaking of Burnley, you just reminded me there where Robbie Brady was trying to mark Callum Hudson-Odoi when Burnley were playing Chelsea. And Dyche said, Robbie, you've got to get to him. He's coming in behind you. And Robbie said, I can see him. I just can't stop him. And he said, actually, I just can't do anything about it. So he was having a shocking time. But yeah, I mean, crowds back is something I'm genuinely like. I'm looking forward to hearing, because I was watching UFC a couple of weeks ago and there was a crowd in, and it felt so different. It felt so... I think it was a 20,000 pack crowd. It was in like Texas or something, and it was amazing to hear the atmosphere and the buzz around the place. And it was very similar on Saturday with the FA Cup final. You know, it was obviously, what was it? Was it 10,000-15,000 something at the FA Cup final? And it was just
21.
Was it 21? Was it?
Yeah.
And you could hear that. You know, it didn't sound like not 80,000. It just sounded like a crowd, because they were still made a hell of a load of noise when the ball went in. The scenes were amazing, you know. Obviously it was a cup final, you don't need any extra additional excitement if you can't get up for that game. But I think we'll see similar scenes tonight, because everyone's so excited to get back and watch the games, you know, take place again for the first time in just over a year.
Yeah, well, we should say Manchester United fans actually have been inside Old Trafford in the last 14 months, but that's because they broke in. And obviously that caused the Liverpool game to be postponed a couple of weeks ago. They replayed it midweek last week, Seb, and United were terrible against Liverpool. They got undone completely. They lost 4-2, but some would say they did have an almost unmanageable schedule. There are just two games left, this one and the final day against Wolves, before Solskjaer's team play the Europa League final. Do you think starting spots are still up for grabs?
I think they've got a settled first 11, haven't they? Pretty much. There might be one or two in the forward positions, but I think Solskjaer actually he's done well this season, and he's gradually moulded that team to include Pogba and Fernandes, and I've been very impressed with them. Cavani's on form, so there's probably not too many starting spots. I think Martial and Daniel James might be looking at trying to force their way in, but I think they're very settled, to be honest.
Yeah, Martial and James set to return from injury tonight. Marley, do you think that Mason Greenwood has done enough to eke his way into the Euros squad? Obviously, in the absence of Martial, Greenwood's had a more important role. He's still only 19 years of age. There was a bit of a furor, wasn't there, over the incident in Iceland with breaking quarantine rules. It was him and Phil Foden. Phil Foden is no doubt going to the Euros. Mason Greenwood hasn't been included in an England squad since that incident in Iceland. Do you think we've seen enough from Greenwood to warrant him getting on the plane for the Euros?
No. To be honest, I don't. He's coming to form, but he's been, you know, off it for the most of the season. I think, you know, a small run of form towards the end. I know he's undoubtedly talented, and you know he's probably going to go to the next 4-5 major tournaments if his career goes the way everyone expects it to. But I just think there's no real. I don't think there's any problem leaving him at home this year and just letting him, just give him a little rest, just let him, you know, mature a little bit more, and then take him to the, you know, to the World Cup in a year's time. It's next season, the World Cup, for God's sake, you know. He's not exactly running out of time. I just think with the amount of people, you know, the amount of players you've got available, you know, Calvert-Lewin will probably go, Kane will probably go. Kane will go if he's fit. Obviously, if he stays fit,
he's definitely gonna go. He's the captain, for God's sake.
It's just one of the things where I said probably, and then my head went, "Why have you said probably there?" Of course, he's gonna go. You know, you've got them two, and then you've got, you know, Rashford and Sancho and Sterling. It just depends on the balance of your squad, and what system you're gonna play. I think most players don't get in if Kane's fit. So, you know, can you take three centre forwards and then only play one of them and give another 10-15 minutes here and there? And that's kind of been the problem with the players that are behind Kane in the pecking order. You've seen Vardy retire. I'm sure Vardy wouldn't have retired if he was playing 90 minutes for England every couple of months. So it's one of them. I would probably be more tempted to take another winger or another attacking midfielder than Greenwood. Like, if it's a choice of Greenwood or Grealish, for example, I would rather take Grealish.
Well, I saw a report this morning saying it's Sancho or Greenwood. And so Sancho,
every day of the week.
Sancho.
And twice on Sundays. Yeah.
I think that has made the decision up for both Seb and Marley on the podcast. Harry Maguire's not going to play tonight against Fulham. He's still got his ankle in a protective boot. He might not even be fit for the Europa League final, which is next Wednesday, so just over a week away. And then there are some concerns over the Euros as well. So who knows what happens next with Harry Maguire, but they'll be without him tonight, Manchester United, as they take on Fulham at Old Trafford. Fans in attendance up to 10k in the stadium. That kicks off at 6pm. The other game that kicks off at the very same time, albeit down on the south coast at St Mary's, Southampton against Leeds. This is one of those end of season dead rubbers, Seb. Leeds, though, they still might be able to finish eighth if they win their final couple of games. Do you think that's a step too far from them, from what we've seen this season, or do you think they're capable of it?
No, I think that's about right. Obviously, we played them a couple of weeks ago, and they were outstanding. Coached to within an inch of their lives. Every single player knows exactly what their role is. And this season, they have been, in my view, the best of the rest. You know, they're on a par with your Evertons, better than your Arsenals. I had to get that one in, obviously. completely deserved. Really, really impressive. I like the way they set up. I really like Jack Harrison. I think he's a fantastic player. He's someone that the big club should be looking at. He's someone who I think, if Southgate had open eyes, would be a good man for the England squad. But you know, I don't know if that will happen, but I've been really impressed with Leeds. And eighth is by no means over their level.
Here's a bit of a curveball for you, Seb. If Daniel Levy went in and tried to poach Marcelo Bielsa and he became the new Tottenham boss, would you be pleased with that?
I should say yes, because like I just said, coached. One thing that hasn't happened at Tottenham in the last maybe 2 years is any decent coaching. So yeah, he is a coach first and foremost. I do still have a slight problem with the translator. I'm not going to lie, and how well that I say how well that translates onto the pitch, but obviously it doesn't seem to be a problem. I don't know. I hear such good things about Leeds and Bielsa and what he does and how he inspires, and even what he's like, kind of. Going into his local supermarket and how he's got time for everyone. He lives in a village just outside Leeds, and he cycles into work. And it sounds fantastic, but I don't know. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, do you say to Kane, it's okay, you can stay for another year, Bielsa's coming in? I don't know if that has the desired effect.
Yeah, is that going to convince him to stick around? I see what you're saying. Yeah. I don't personally think that's going to happen, but it just sprung to my head then. I thought, well, that would be interesting. There are lots of rumours regarding Danny Ings from a Southampton perspective, though, Marley. And Seb's already touched upon how possibly Danny Ings could be someone who Tottenham might look at to replace Harry Kane, even though I've seen a few reports saying that that's actually unlikely to happen. I mean, every time we talk about Southampton, because their season is effectively done and dusted, they've got absolutely nothing to play for. We always talk about Danny Ings when we discuss them. And naturally, tonight, he's going to be at the forefront of conversation again, particularly if he does score a goal. I mean, we've spoken loads of times about his future, whether he's going to stay, whether he's going to go. I think you're of the inclination that he's going to leave, Marley. Potential destinations for Danny Ings? It's becoming more and more difficult to pick somewhere else, isn't it?
But, I mean, Ings to Spurs, if Kane did go, I'd like that move. It seems like a fit. I don't think Danny Ings could play for Man City, for example. I think there was a link with him potentially going to Man City earlier this year, and I don't think he's quite that level. But I don't think Spurs are quite that level of Man City. So I think it's a slight step down, but a massive step up for Ings if he did go to from Southampton to Spurs. Well, even if you bought him, what would he cost? 20 million? You know, no more than 25, I would say. He becomes a much more affordable striker than the one where if you go and get 120, 150 for Kane, you don't have to go and spend 60, 70. You have to look and say, well, he scored 22 goals in a relatively poor Southampton last season, and he's done well this season as well when he's been fit. That's the only thing that's ever followed him around, them injury records. But if you can get that sorted, there's a player in there for definite. But I think he will leave. I think he's done enough to leave. I think when you're scoring that many goals in a team like Southampton and they're finishing in the bottom half, you can't really expect him to stay. He doesn't really owe you anything. It's similar. A lot of things have happened. Similar type of moves. I think back to when Newcastle sold Eozy Perez to Leicester. You know, last 2 years ago now, was it? I mean, we bought him for £2.5 million, and after 4 or 5 years, he went, hang on, can I go to a better club? And Leicester came in, paid £30 million, everyone was happy. And we just said, the fans were like, we can't blame him for leaving because he was good, but we were rubbish. And I think that's kind of what Southampton might have to look at and say, you know, if we're not if we're not matching his ambitions in terms of our league position every year, you know, you are going to expect to have him want to leave and try something else and try his hand at a better club as he nears 30. So you probably are looking at some sort of move this summer, whether that's Spurs or someone else. We'll have to wait and see.
I think you're right. I think Southampton have a distinct lack of quality, and I'm not just saying that because of who I support. I genuinely think that they do have one of the weakest squads. I don't rate the goalkeeper. I think that without Ings and Romeu, I think they look the shadow of the side that they usually are. Don't think Nathan Redmond's any good. I mean, some of the other signings they've made have been non-existent. Centre-halves are okay, but then again, they've conceded 9 in 2 consecutive seasons. I think the manager's overrated. Anyway, I could keep going on and on and on. Theo Walcott has signed a new contract at Southampton. That's just news that's broken today whilst we've been recording the podcast. So he'll be signing permanently on a 2-year deal from Everton because that's where he was on loan from. Before Southampton against Leeds, 6 p.m. kickoff. Still 2 more Premier League games to discuss. We'll do it next here on Football Social Daily. Welcome back. This is Football Social Daily. I'm Niall. I've got Marley and Seb alongside me. Time to talk Brighton against Manchester City, 7 p.m. kickoff tonight. And all the focus will be on Pep Guardiola's partying last night. Marley was puffing away on cigars, drinking wine, chatting with the staff, talking about sending videos to Noel Gallagher while singing Oasis songs. It was all very Mancunian. And naturally, Pep Guardiola's won plenty of praise amongst the City faithful for those celebrations. Do you think we might see a slightly wavy Manchester City tonight against Brighton, or do you think it'll be business as usual?
We'll see what's left, won't we? We'll see what type of state they're in. but no, I think they'll still be all right. They've still got plenty to... plenty in the tank, you know. If you're coming up against a Man City in second gear, you know, they're still a hell of a prospect. And we've seen him put 4 past Newcastle with a much changed team last weekend, even though we played pretty well. But yeah, I think they'll still be fine. I think Brighton pass the ball around and make pretty patterns, but when you come up against a proper team like Man City with the cutting edge as well as the nice passing and the high pressing and all the rest of it, I think you're still in for a bit of a shock.
Yeah, if football was played on a pitch 3/4 the size of the one that they normally play it on, Brighton would be top of the league. because between both boxes, they're great. And as soon as they start having to defend inside the box or get shots away, they're terrible. And I think their league position reflects that. What's your take on Brighton, Seb? Because I think the majority of people that have watched them this season have found them quite an enjoyable team, an attractive team to watch, pleasing on the eye. But what isn't pleasing on the eye for the Brighton fans is that they're just hovering above the relegation zone. Even though relegation's already been sorted out for this season, it will be concerning that they are so close to the drop after making all the changes with Graham Potter coming in, some of the players they've signed.
Yeah, we've talked on our podcast quite a lot about Graham Potter because obviously he's been strongly linked with the manager's job at Spurs. For me, I don't want him anywhere near the club. yes, pleasing on the eye. Yes, pretty football. But for me, you know, maybe it's too basic, but the object is to put the ball in the net. Brighton regularly failed to do that. And as well as that, they struggled to keep the ball out of their own net. So for me, it doesn't matter kind of what goes on in the middle. You can play all the nice football in the world, but if you're conceding goals and struggling to score them, you're going to be in trouble. And that's what the league table points to. This XG figure that is obviously extremely fashionable at the moment, it doesn't mean anything to me. You know, I always point to the fact that if I take a penalty or if Harry Kane takes a penalty, the XG is the same. Now, that's not right. So, I struggle with Brighton and I struggle with the amount of praise that Graham Potter's been getting. I definitely think it's something to do, something along the lines of the Emperor's New Clothes. He seems very fashionable, but I not for me. I don't see it. Might be pretty, but it's not effective.
Yeah, I think Graham Potter doesn't even use XG, actually, as a statistic himself.
Remember that clip?
as we know from a clip, which is quite funny, which he said a few weeks ago. But certainly, I can understand your concerns about Brighton. And I think it's just a case of because they're a small club that are punching above their weight, anything they do that doesn't involve relegation, they get praised for. But I can totally see your point. I mean,
are they punching above their weight at 17th?
Yeah, that is punching above. They should be in the Championship. They're a League One club, really. Yeah.
That's what it comes down to, you know. As Seb said, I completely agree. I mean, you're not asking too much for, you know, you talk about a coach like overachieving. You're not asking too much for a team to put the ball in the back of the net more than Brighton are.
But,
you know,
Welbeck,
a minus five goal difference when you're 17th is not something to put on your CV.
No, Welbeck, Mopay, and Aaron Connolly. I mean,
Mopay, Christ.
You'd be lucky to score goals in the Championship with that front line. You really would. So, I mean, I'm not surprised with the strikers they've got that they're not putting the ball in the net. Anyway, their next test, the Seagulls, comes against Manchester City, the champions.
Watch Mopay score a bloody hat-trick now.
He won't score tonight. I can promise you that. 7 p.m. tonight, kickoff at the Amex, Brighton against Manchester City. Which brings us to the showpiece game of this midweek fixture list. Actually, I think this could be one of the most exciting games across the Premier League, actually, over the next couple of weeks as the season finish line is coming into view. Chelsea against Leicester, 8:15 kickoff. And the Blues have a chance to get revenge for their FA Cup final defeat. Thomas Tuchel actually said in his pre-match press conference that this game for him is more important than the cup final. Do you think he's right, Seb? Do you think that was a fair assessment from the German?
That's really sad, isn't it? That's really sad to hear. Yeah. I get all the financial implications and everything else, but that's a cup final. You know, trust me, as a Spurs fan, the cup finals are important. Yeah. You know, we don't get to any. I'm glad that get to many, I should say. I'm glad that they can say that. You know, it must be great for them. But I think that's a damning indictment on the state of football at the moment. Yeah. For me, that a cup final is so more important. And I'm going to go Kevin Keegan here, but I'd love it if they got beat tonight, beat in that cup final on Saturday, beat in the Champions League final. It'd be their just desserts. So, come on, Leicester.
I mean, I love the FA Cup and I don't want to rub it in, but when my team, Portsmouth, beat Tottenham in the 2010 semi-final, a lot of Pompey fans still talk about that to this day as one of their favourite games following the club, because we were sort of in administration, in the relegation zone, and then to go against the odds and do it at Wembley and get to the final. I think that if you've been desensitised to going to Wembley and playing in cup finals in big games, I think you're right. I think that really is a sad indictment of the mentality of some. However, to, you know, play devil's advocate here, Marley, Thomas Tuchel said that his ambition or one of his goals that he was set, tasked by Roman Abramovich when he came into the club to take over from Frank Lampard, was to finish in the top four. And he said, despite the fact the FA Cup is prestigious and it's a big game and we desperately wanted to win it, it wasn't on my remit when I came into the club. And winning the FA Cup doesn't get you Champions League football. That's the aim for Chelsea. That's the aim for Tuchel. So can you see it from that viewpoint? Or do you still think it leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth anyway?
That's such a weird thing to say, isn't it? Like, oh, well, you know, technically you didn't ask me to win that, so I didn't win it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being that sort of entitled to success that you say, oh, we don't want the FA Cup, we're not really bothered?
That's like something Mourinho would say, that, isn't it?
I'd chop off three fingers to win an FA Cup, you know what I mean? Come on. That's mental, that. But, yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, you understand what he's saying by that, you know, it is all about Champions League qualification. And yeah, I mean, tonight's massive. Tonight is huge. Mm. After Alisson bagged that header the other day, you know, talk about a weird season culminating a weird thing to happen. You know what I mean? Flipping Brazilian goalkeeper turning into a prime Andy Carroll and powering a header in to all of a sudden make this game look like, I mean, somebody's gonna massively miss out. If the, you know, whatever happens tonight, they're both in danger of Liverpool overtaking them when Liverpool play Burnley. So, you know, it's a huge, huge game. You could argue, and you probably could make a legit case that it's more important than the FA Cup final, but I don't want to see Leicester miss out on the Champions League again. I think they 100% deserve it for the last couple of seasons, and it'd be sour to let them to have them slip out of it again. So I'm hoping that they can cling on to it.
There'll be a few bottle job Brendan tweets knocking around, I think, if they do slip out of the top four.
I know, and he's such a disrespected manager that I really don't want to see that as well.
He is. I was stunned. I was a little bit annoyed with him on the weekend though. Sentimentally putting Wes Morgan on, who I thought looked completely out of shape and shouldn't have been anywhere near the squad, let alone getting on the pitch, and then starting Johnny Evans, who had 3 injections in the bottom of his foot, and there was no way he was fit to start that final. But still, I mean, they managed to play well enough to get the victory. I thought, you know, in general, Leicester probably did deserve to pick up the silverware after the season that they've had. And Brendan Rodgers, obviously, has been, like you say, Marley, an underrated manager. My favourite bit about that Alisson header, though, is what Big Sam said after the game. He said that picking the players up after that defeat would have been the hardest task he had since he took the West Brom job, as if keeping them up was like not even in the top priority of him going in there, which I thought was a bit weird. I mean, you said, rightly so, Seb, that they've got some big games coming up, Chelsea. They've easily got the toughest running of all the top four chasing sides. They've got the Champions League final to think about as well. They've lost to Arsenal recently. They lost to Leicester in the cup final. I mean, do you think they've hit bad form at the worst possible time?
Yes, I do. I hope that's the case, at least. I still think Tuchel's experimenting a little bit. Still quite doesn't know his best team. You know, and they bought heavily last year, and he's trying to integrate some of those players. And I still think he's tinkering around a bit too much. I also think, and I'm giving Chelsea a bit of praise here, that he leaves his best player on the bench quite a lot, because I think they are a different animal with Pulisic in the side. I really like him as a player. It'll be interesting to see what lineup they go with tonight. I think it will be different from the cup final, and they'll obviously be out for revenge. But like, as you say, you know, a lot of big games coming up, and they just seem to have stalled when you don't want them to.
Certainly. Do you think Leicester will have a cup hangover though, Marley? Gap's just 2 points to fourth, as you say, 3 points to Liverpool in fifth. So, you know, they've obviously got that massive high and jubilation of winning the FA Cup, but there's still work to be done for them.
I fear that may happen, yeah. I just think Leicester... I'm not sure how you know, not motivated Leicester will be. I just think Chelsea will be really, really motivated and really fancy it and know what's in front of them. They should have beat Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. Last week.
Everyone should beat Arsenal, though, shouldn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. But that was the big mess up for me, because now you're going into that, you've made this game bigger than it needs to be, because you could have beat Arsenal and drew with Leicester and still been all right. But yeah, it's huge, and I think Leicester, as good as they are, I think Chelsea will be slightly too much. Having said that, I agree with what Seb said. I don't think Tuchel knows his best team, and that's why, if it comes down to it, I would rather see Leicester nick that last, nick one of the Champions League places over Chelsea and Liverpool if it comes down to it.
Mm. Well, Chelsea against Leicester. Chance for Chelsea to avenge their FA Cup defeat at Wembley at the weekend. This game kicks off 8:15 p.m. at Stamford Bridge. And with that, we've reached the end of today's Football Social Daily. Don't forget, we'll have a full rundown of all of those fixtures on tomorrow's podcast, as well as looking ahead to another 5 top-flight matches that take place on Wednesday. Loads of content, loads of stuff to get your teeth stuck into, so make sure you hit subscribe, and that way you won't ever miss another episode again. But thanks very much to Marley. Thanks very much, Seb. Where can people check out The Cheese Room? Of course, it's on the Sports Social Podcast Network, but if there are Spurs fans out there listening in, how can they get involved?
Yeah, find us on Facebook, Cheese Room Podcast. Find us on Twitter as well. All the usual social media platforms. We do maybe two or three pods a week now, also on YouTube as well. So yeah, any of the usual social media platforms, I'm sure you'll find us, and hopefully enjoy our content.
Great stuff. That's the Cheese Room podcast, the dedicated Tottenham show, and this is Football Social Daily. We'll catch you again tomorrow.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.